Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
It's like that.
Like what?
Like our friend Ryan talks about his love of hip hop.
And that's the way it is. It doesn't even make sense. No. Why would I say that line?
Yeah, that's true.
So you should just say, you should just finish it out.
Okay.
All right, let's do this one more.
Okay.
Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
It's like that.
Like what?
Like our friend Ryan talks about his love of hip hop. And that's the way it is.
That worked better.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so are we ready?
Yep.
Should we do this?
Yep. Let's do it.
All right, so... tray tables up.
Yes.
Seat backs up.
Upright, lock position.
We are ready to take off here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And Patrick?
Yes, Jim.
We have an honored guest.
Yes, we do. I'm very excited about this. It's our friend Ryan Scholin.
Hello. How are you?
Doing great. How are you, Ryan?
All right. Feeling good.
Ryan is a guy from the hood. Guy from the neighborhood here in the suburbs of Northern Virginia.
An old friend.
Yep. And we... used to work together. We all used to work together.
Yeah, we did.
In older jobs, and now we're all in three different circumstances,
right?
Yeah. But so this is good that we're able to get together, and we know that Ryan is a big music guy,
yes.
And we wanted to have him over, and basically we're going to make this kind of like a Ryan week.
It's going to be
right?
Like Ryan week. Ryan, I'm looking forward to it.
Stuck here
Ryan
all week.
Yeah.
Week. Yeah. And our first topic with Ryan, we're going to talk about his musical upbringing. Because you're a little bit younger than me and Patrick,
yeah,
I think, right?
Not that,
I would hope so.
A little.
So
a little bit.
Because I think you hit at it. I think your youth, you hit at a time when music was just a little bit different than for us. Would you say like it just those few years made a little bit of difference?
Yeah, it might have. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you grew up a big fan of what kind of music?
Well, I mean, I grew up with all kinds of music playing in the house with, like, I mean, in Miami, it was Love 94, with Sunday morning jazz, and a lot of, like, Fleetwood Mac during the weekdays. And at some point, we switched to oldies, and it was Magic 102.7 and, like, you know, the sort of Elvis and Big Bopper and Buddy Holly inauguration that really every American child gets. But, you know, I also came of age in, like, the late 70s, early 80s, and... Okay. I don't even know where I got it from, but I came home with maybe 12 inches from school, from like music class, little awards and stuff that we heard and stuff that you heard on the playground and at summer camp. And, you know, just really early on, I started listening to what today we would call hip hop. You know? And,
yeah.
And as let's be for clarification, I'm white. So like, you know, white kid in the, you know, concrete suburbs of, unincorporated Northeast Dade County, AKA somewhere near Miami. That wasn't unusual. Like we were all kind of listening to the same music.
Right.
But looking back at it and trying to trace, like, where did I hear that? How did I get into that? There's some odd little waypoints along the way. I mean, you know, one of the first things I remember is like, I had this, I don't know if it was a Fisher Price record player, but I feel like that's the classic, like Fisher Price plastic record player. And I had my little Batman record and my Muppet stuff and Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the first, like, where in the world did that come from?
All right. We're going to hear that. But before we do, I forgot to do this.
Oh, yeah. We can officially begin.
I'm Big Bang, I the chill. I got a lot of rap, but I'll be brief. I never need a horse, I like the chill. So I drive up in my new Seville. My tribe went down in the Hall of Fame, cause I'm the one who shot Jesse James. Power for power, I will never break down. Big bang. No, sir, I don't mess around. Oh!
Apache by Sugar Hill Gang.
That's Apache.
Yes. And one of the things I really like about that is it sounds like a party, right?
Yeah, it totally does. Absolutely.
It's definitely a good time. So as a white kid listening to black music where they're making really stereotypical Native American sounds, yeah. I mean, you know, just to nod that I am now conscious of these sort of cultural appropriation versus cultural awareness versus honoring culture. And it was definitely not something I was conscious of then. I was running around in, like, you know, frilled pants. If we were playing Cowboys and Indians, I was the Indian. So watching, if you remember the like Lone Ranger series on TV from the early 80s, that was my thing. That and I mean Dukes of Hazzard, things like that. But so the first word of the song is Tonto, and I'm like, whoa, I know this. Kemosabe. I'm like, this is my music. What is this stuff? And at the same time, we were in, you know, we weren't Boy Scouts. Our family, we were in like a YMCA program. It was called Indian Guides then. Wow. It's not called Indian Guides anymore.
I would imagine.
Our tribe, right? Our like neighborhood group, we were the Apache. So this hit as like 5 years old me. This hit on so many levels the first time I put this on the Fisher-Price record player.
It's such a visual record, too, with the bongos and kind of the way it's put together, you know? I mean, it immediately jumps out at you. You immediately recognize it and instantaneously, like, identify with it. Whether you like it or not, it makes an impact on you, like, immediately.
Well, yes, to be sure, because it's still used in things like movie trailers and commercials and things like that, right? It's instantly recognizable. Yeah. And, you know, in a way that just sort of, like, cuts through everything else, right?
Mm-hmm. I can't not see like the some sort of party with everybody in the outfits, you know?
Right. Okay. So where did your musical journey go from here?
So, you know, you're a kid in Miami and you go to summer camp at like the Parks and Recreation camp, right? Like we weren't doing anything fancy. If I had to ask my mom today how much it costs, I think it would be a really, really remarkably small number. Yeah. So you go to Parks and Rec camp and you mix with kids that aren't from your neighborhood. That was like our school was diverse enough, but I think getting exposed to other cultures, to other music, to other attitudes at like summer camp had a lot to do with it. So maybe it's a couple of years later, it's like summer after 1984, I don't know, third grade, something like that, second, third grade. And this amazing, amazing thing happens, which is that all of us that are in the group that our parents pick us up the latest because they're at work, well, I don't know, like the schedule of the day is over, you know, football time is over, whatever sports we were playing outside.
Yeah.
It's Miami, so there's a thunderstorm every day at 4:30. So we're in for like the last hour, we're in the gym. Yeah. And it's
the aftercare, right?
Very much so. Like aftercare of the summer camp, it's unstructured playtime, and somebody would bring out a boombox. And somebody would bring the gym mats to the middle of the floor, and there would be a break-in battle.
Nice.
For real, for real. And kids were into it, you know?
Awesome.
Like, me and my friends are trying to, like, do backspins and stuff. But there were kids that were a little older and really into it. But so, I mean, the music I heard there led me to come home and ask my mom to, you know, Mom, can you buy me a Jam Master Jay record?
Yeah.
Because DMC is always running from Jam Master Jay. I did not really get the concept. I missed a little bit in translation, you know? But it must have been Run DMC's first record. I don't, you know, and what I would love to know is how did this get into the neighborhood? Like, who were the big brothers? Who were the parents that were playing this at home? Because I had no idea where it came from. It wasn't on Love 94, you know?
Way it is. People in the world come to make it speak. You travel by God.
Hey, Jim, you know, I was thinking about something today.
Yeah.
I think there's several kinds of people in the world. But you know, it's like when we were talking to our friend Ryan, he was talking about how there were some guys who, like, you know, were really good at breakdancing. And they were right in there doing the breakdancing.
Right.
And then there were some people that were kind of on the side. And they weren't really participating, but they were really into the breakdancing.
Right.
And I think when it comes to rocking the suburbs and things we need people to do, we need those people on the sideline to get in the game help us out. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Popping and locking.
That's
right.
That's what they should be
so
doing.
So to speak. Yeah.
Right. And what that means for rocking the suburbs is what exactly?
They got to rate and review us.
Yes.
They got to do that. You know, I know you're enjoying the show. You're on the sidelines. You're listening to all the episodes, right? But you got to get in there and give us that rating.
5 stars.
There you go.
Ryan knows what to do.
The voice of reason.
All right. So you go to Apple Podcasts / iTunes. You find the little stars thing. You give us a nice rating.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan suggested, you know, subliminally here what you might want to do.
Yeah.
And then also, if you can, you can just do that. That's nice.
That's
but then
fine.
Like sort of the extra thing, if you're like a really good break
dancer, while you're there,
is you then... Like if you can do the worm, like that kind of thing, then you go on and you write like a little review.
Doesn't take long.
You know, just you know what you think of the show, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And why we want you to do that? It's not just to feed our egos. That is nice,
yeah, it is
but
nice.
It also elevates the show in the Apple podcasting platform.
Mm-hmm.
Other people discover the show. More people listen to the show. Our wives let us continue to do the show.
There you go. That's the last part is very important.
That's right. So please do that. Let's get back to the show. All right, so guys, we got an email from Jeff Niebuhr, Niebuhr.
Okay.
Does that sound like a real name?
Could be possible.
All right. And he just out of the blue emailed us about how much he loves the Beastie Boys. Oh. We hadn't really done anything
on the show yet about
the Beasties, maybe mentioned them here or there, that kind of thing. But he says he loves the show, and then he says, I have many comments, but most could be summed up with, quote, Beastie Boys are the rightful heirs of the punk ethic.
Huh. Okay? Interesting.
And he says, not the alternative / college rock that fizzled with REM's Out of Time.
Whoa, fizzled.
To then be crashed up against Nirvana, but rather to inject money into the nascent hip hop strain, allowing it to blossom into an entirely new category of music, fashion, and media that is still expanding to this day.
Certainly.
Okay. Like Elvis and Buddy Holly to rock and soul and the Beatles and the Stones and the blues and even like Benny Goodman to jazz, the Beastie Boys exposed white suburban kids to all that is good in the world.
Hmm.
Run DMC, LL Cool J, Houdini, Public Enemy, the very foundations of hip hop, and Rick Rubin. Chicken and the egg, who begot who? The Beasties or Rick Rubin?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Or did lightning strike and then separate these twin powerhouses of creativity after licensed... Look at where they came from and where they ended up. Crazy, man, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to cite like several examples of how important the Beastie Boys were to culture. For instance, they opened for Madonna.
Yes, they did.
On her Like a Virgin tour.
Mm-hmm. Saw that.
He says here...
Problematic behavior on that tour.
Yeah. He says here, their videos are the best videos of all time. Yes, uh-huh. Better than Michael Jackson and Prince.
Wow.
And then he... He mentions their contributions to sampling. Paul's Boutique still reigns as the most sample-heavy work. No one can top it because of the licensing costs.
That's
now.
Right. They got in under the wire.
That's right.
Their influence on fashion. I see Fila footwear in Urban Outfitters and think Mike D should get a check. Their span is 30 years. Same three guys. Name another band that had that level of influence in that many decades. Maybe Prince, maybe Paul, maybe Johnny Cash. That's from Jeff. So
very nice. Thank you, Jeff, for the email.
What do we think about his take on the Beasties?
Provocative.
They're, you know, some slight exaggerations, but like there are really strong grains of truth there.
Yeah.
I was like getting worked up and he was like Elvis and Buddy Holly. I'm like, oh, no, I see what you're saying. That's actually true.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, the dovetailing of like the rise of the Beasties with the rise of Run DMC. Like Raisin Hell and Licensed Ill hit at almost the same moment.
Yeah.
So if you're a white kid in the suburbs, like me. You were hearing both of these records simultaneously and kind of switching back and forth. Like, yeah. Literally, I remember being on a bus on a field trip to Philadelphia with a you know, diverse group of kids, and we're just mixing up all of this music. We're cutting between UB Illin and Paul Revere, and it's all very, you know, for 1988 and for us not knowing exactly what the Beasties are talking about all the time, it's all very wholesome. Paul's Boutique is like a masterwork. It's yes, insane. It took me years to get into it, right? As a 12, 13 year old, whenever it came out, it was not accessible to me. But, you know, years later, you know, in high school, kind of getting back to it, I'm walking around singing the Pato Banton sample, and it's like, that's not entirely accurate for my life, but I'm going to, you know, sing along. They sample Bob Dylan from like, just like Tom Thumb's Blues. That feels expensive. That doesn't feel like something you would do today on a regular basis. No,
not at all.
But they were huge. Paul Revere, like that song, like loomed large in my life as a 10-year-old. You know, that was me as a little white kid feeling like a real bad dude, you know, in ways that didn't come through in other music. And beyond that, you know, I stuck around through like the Ill Communication years and Sabotage is fun. The punk rock ethic, though, you go back to Check Your Head and you go back to them playing their own instruments on Ill Communication, and beyond that. And yeah, of course. And back to the original like Eggman stuff. That was like the most fun, you know, when you go back and you find the band's first hidden record, whatever the bonus tracks that they put on stuff. And you listen to that early, like they're a punk rock band. And it's amazing. And you play it now. I was talking before about playing the Beasties for my 7-year-old, and it's the punk rock stuff that he has the most fun with, except when they say, but he likes that a lot.
And they did. But you're right too, Ryan. It was part of it was their behavior and their attitude, the way they just sort of, you know, took the piss out of everything, you know, to use an English expression, right? They did that all the time, and that was very punk rock as well.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that rap and me.
My team!
Been had a little horsey named Paul Revere. Just me and my horsey and a quart of beer. Riding across the land, kicking up sand. Sheriff's watches on my tail, cause I'm in demand. One lonely B.C.I.P. All by myself without no bot team. The sun is beating down on my baseball hat. The air is getting hot, the beer is getting flat. Looking for a girl, I ran into a guy. His name is MCA. I said howdy, he said hi.
You think the story's over, but it's ready to begin.
All right. We're running kind of long here. Okay. We have one more pick from Ryan that we want to play. Let's just close this up a little bit, and then you'll be able to hear that. So please, you enjoy listening to Ryan. I'm sure you do. Yes. So listen to Rock in the Suburbs.
Every day.
Every day. You're going to be on. Yeah. You're going to be on for a few more days with us here. We're not letting you go.
No. It's got a sleeping bag down here.
You can find it on the major podcast platforms. You can also visit our website, suburbspod.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find us on social medias at suburbspod. And you can email us.
You can email us.
rock@suburbspod.com, like the guy who wanted to gush on the Beastie Boys. Yeah, that was great.
Us about anything.
And you can also give us a call, which we really like. We've been getting a lot more calls lately. Do you want to know why?
I'd love to know why.
It's the power of the jingle, right? Have you heard the jingle yet, Ryan?
I don't know if I've heard the jingle.
All right, so hang on.
It's pretty new, and it's really special. It outlines one of three moods you can be in to actually call up Rock in the Suburbs.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party Line.
That number is
612-440-1984. What do you think? That'll get people to call, right?
Yes. Yes, it will.
All right. Our thanks to Randall and Jody for putting that together.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Okay. I think that pretty much sums up how you can interact with the show
yep.
and what you want to do. And Ryan, set us up here. What are we going to play out with?
So we're going to play out with a song that I heard probably surreptitiously with my radio on after bedtime in my room listening to, I don't know if it was before the transition or if it was 96X or if it was Power 96, but they did like a Hot 5 at 9 or something. And I remember the first time I heard JJ Fad, Supersonic. And it was amazing. It was women, first of all. And, again, as a kid, I hadn't heard that yet. I'm sure it was already happening. But it was women MCs and just rocking it and doing things with their vocals that we just hadn't heard yet. It was amazing.
All right.
All right.
Let's hear that.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to Ryan tomorrow. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Supersonic. Supersonic. Rhymes are creating, and everybody knows that JJ Faz devastating. We know you like us, girl, so you better get sterile, cause we are the home chicks that are rocking your world. Supersonic. Supersonic. Supersonic is a word when people start to listen, especially bigger people, they pay close attention. You might not believe it, you might not even buy it, but when it comes to our lady, you might even try it. Supersonic. Supersonic. Now all you supersonic people try to bite our rhymes. You may think that you are deaf, but you're way behind, so you better listen good to what we have to say, cause when it comes to JJ Fad, you can't get no play. Supersonic.
So I can drive around the suburbs here and, hear the teenagers with the windows rolled down and be like, yeah, I know that.
That is.
Yeah. You don't think I do because I'm old, but I do,